What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Chasing Daylight podcast. This is our Masters recap episode, I guess you can call it. We got some other shit to talk about too, but we are joined by Jenner Wilson, who just you. How many days were you out there for?
I was there for Monday and Tuesday practice rounds.
Awesome, awesome. So he was out on the grounds at Augusta. So we're gonna tons of questions for him. If you have any questions, you're in chat on IG, throw them on there. If you're on YouTube, throw them on there. We'll get him in, and I'm sure he'll be willing to answer as many of them as you can. The Masters was great. TV ratings were down, and I'm glad.
So my main question is like, does that include the streaming platforms? Like, does that include Masters app?
I don't know.
I didn't see a definitive answer to that because, I mean, everybody's more on their phones nowadays. Like,
I know there was less TVs watching it because there was six of us at Trey's. So
that's true.
You know, yeah, there's true. Masters parties are becoming more popular, especially now that you can, you know, order food from Augusta for them.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do that one of these years.
We do. Yeah.
It's
quite expensive.
But I'm glad the ratings are down because that means less people are paying attention to golf, which is what we need right now. Because good Lord, golf is still crazy, stupid, expensive.
It is. It is. I don't know. I feel like the streaming services were not included in that because I feel like there's no way like that it's down from last year.
I can't imagine it being so.
There was
13 live players. There was 13 live players in the field. So there should have been at least 300 million fans of live watching. So
at least at a minimum.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, Greg was subscribing everybody to Live Plus while he was there because, I mean,
his hand
everybody
hurt.
Loved Greg Norman.
Yeah, his hand was hurting.
Dude, the bullshit meter was like off the charts with so much stuff that was going on. Zach Johnson saying he didn't say fuck you to the crowd.
Gee, that, was, that was awesome, that by the way.
I mean,
fuck off. I love it.
Oh, I can't even hear them. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you had Greg Norman going around saying everybody basically was on him while he was walking around Augusta. Couldn't get tickets. I had to get him secondhand. I thought it was hilarious what a pretty couple said. Hey, Greg, 13 of your guys in the field and they couldn't get you tickets?
Yeah,
hit me up next time.
True, yeah. Love it.
We'll talk about the bullshit meter that was off the charts. We've got the Atomic Golf giveaway. The marker is here. I don't want to give it away. So Dan entered. I didn't know we could.
I know, I didn't know either. I should have done
I'm
it too.
Pissed. If you did see it, you know, I don't want to take it out because, you know, some of these are considered collector's items and I don't want to get my greasy, grubby paws all over them. But we got that. I'll bring it up here so everybody can see. Share screen. So I got the wheel ready to go with the 16 entries. So we will do that later on. Cyrus is going to be joining us, hopefully. He's always late. He's always late.
Busy man.
He's a busy man. But he was there and had some pretty good things to say about it. So where do you want to start? Jenner, you want to tell us how you got tickets? Did you win the lotto? Do you have a buddy? How did it happen?
I have to say all the credit actually goes to my wife because it was through her connection that
Golf Wives.
we ended up becoming good friends with the guy who ended up inviting us. So nice. The guy who invited us, it was actually a rather last minute invite. He actually does barbecue catering for a ton of different like companies or even some sports teams, things like that. And he goes out there every year. They brought him out every year and he cooks for clients and things like that. And he gets a guest for a couple of the practice rounds. And then he also goes on Sunday. And so it was kind of a last minute invite where he was like, hey, I know it might be a long shot, but if you, you know, we had kind of like been putting it in his ear, like, hey, if anybody ever bells, you just let me know. And sure enough, he called us about a week and a half, 2 weeks right before. And like, can you guys make it? We're like, absolutely. Like, no yes, question. I'm in.
You're coming. Yeah.
So I was like, I say, all praise to my wife for that one. So we're good friends with the guy now, but it initially started through her.
I mean, like real deal golf wives are the best, man. They get it, you know, and when they get it, I love it.
They don't get a lot of credit. We try to throw them some love as often as we can.
That's true.
Yeah. Beautiful Golf Course has chimed in. He said, golf wives are the best. If anyone knows one, BGC is single. So.
That's awesome.
Little Four's in the house. Tommy's in the house. He Fizzle's in the house. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining.
So first time for you, right? So like, I mean, like, and you're booking quick. Like, I mean, what, how did you
just
even
thinking about it?
You know, how did you even like, I mean, the motel situation, hotel situation, Airbnb, it's got to be a nightmare. Even flights, it's got to be crazy. Like, the logistics just give me nightmares. I would rather win the lottery. You know what I mean?
So I would probably win the, I would prefer to win the lottery. There's no doubt, because then you can have a little bit more of the time to prepare for it. But quite frankly, as a first timer, like, it doesn't matter.
It's just, you know, you just go.
I've always basically said, like, if I get tickets, I'm going to find a way to go. And this came up and I found a way to go. And so from us, it's actually pretty easy. It's a straight Salt Lake to Atlanta, Delta to Delta, major hubs.
Yeah.
The tickets weren't necessarily cheap, but they weren't astronomical either. It was like $1,000 each. So it wasn't horrible, but so that part of the logistics, you know, part wasn't too bad. We stayed in Atlanta on Sunday night. And then as part of this whole guest thing, the company actually hosts in, they rent out homes that are like 10 minutes from Augusta.
Oh, wow.
So they bring in all their clients. And as part of this whole thing, that's what, like, the whole experience was a little bit different than your typical, like, oh, I've never been, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this guy really helped to make our experience like really special. So that was helpful.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I feel like I would for sure, like, if I got an invite, like, you have to go, because you may never get that opportunity ever again. So it's like, you have to do it. Like, it is what it is. And it's time to just buckle up, cowboy, and just go.
There's no doubt about it. And there's things, you know, my wife at times stresses about, like, how much things are going to cost. I'm like, listen, you just, you don't ask questions about this one.
That's one of them. Like, right. It's like, it is what it is. And it's like, seize the moment, you know, kind of shit.
So. Do you have kids?
I do. I have three kids.
Oh. Did you take the kids?
No way.
Okay.
Love my kids, but no, we had to put them up with, you know, we've got a gal who's helped us out before when we go on vacation or something. She was great.
Awesome.
Oh yeah.
So it, being at your first time, like, was it everything you expected? I mean, like, did you want more? Like, what did you get to do? Did you walk every hole?
I see the gnome in the background. Nice little.
Hey,
$1,000 bill sitting up there.
I actually, on right on this side, you can see the small gnome. Actually from last year. The his name's Cam. Cam hooked us up with the small one last year. He brought it home from the Masters last year.
Nice.
And he was like, "Oh, you guys, the Masters is amazing." We're like, "Thanks, keep rubbing it in. It's amazing." So I don't feel so bad now that he was the one that helped get us back. But yeah, we had to get up early for the big gnome.
It's like 200 a day, right?
Yeah, it's a small number, that's for sure. And I will tell you this, I was, when we were standing in line to get in, as we're walking, we got there like 6:20. It's pitch black. There's, you know, there's still hundreds of people that are waiting there. And we were down by the south gate. Again, there's two gates. The north gate is the main gate, which I wish, that's a different story, but I wish I had known that the first day I went. The second day was when we got there early to try and go get these gnomes. As we're walking in, Cam's like, there's no way we get one. None. Like, there's way too many people in front of us. So as we walk in, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a jaunt to get in there and into like the gift shop or the pro shop where they sell all the stuff. But it is legitimately like Disneyland for any golfer. There's like the merch that you're looking at. It's unbelievable. I bought a number of things that I could resell, and it more than made up for the cost that you spend. So anyways, we're getting in. I was actually surprised at how many people either didn't know about the gnome or didn't go for the gnome, because we actually tried to take two of them up there, and they're like, sorry, you can only do one. So I ended up getting a small one and a big one this year as well. So
the gnome is fairly new. I mean, it's, what is it? It's 8 years old.
I was thinking 7 or 8. So it's right around there. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, it's crazy. I mean, and I did, I know Jeff Marsh, that was his first time out there this year also. And I filled out one of his things where he's like, ask me all your Masters questions. Like, and I said, how is parking logistics? He said, avoid the North Gate at all costs. Like, go to South Gate, because Google Maps, everything will pull you to the North Gate. Go to the South Gate 100%. So interesting to hear that.
Yeah. And so I have a little bit of an interesting like situation. That's why I was kind of telling you about the whole North Gate, South Gate thing, because when I got there, the way that we got tickets is he gets one ticket, one extra ticket per day. So on Monday and Tuesday. So I actually had my wife went with him for the free ticket the first day, and I stayed a couple hours behind. I actually had a little bit of work to do, and I scalped one on Monday, like mid morning. It was like 10:30 or 11. So by the time I tried to go get in, I start walking in, and I was supposed to meet them at the driving range, which is up by the North Gate. And as I was walking down there, I asked this park, you don't know where you're going. It's like the it's all free parking for the most part. It's massive, massive lots of cars and cars and cars upon cars. When you get there at 10:30, 11, they're already filled, right?
Yeah.
So I ended up getting in, and as I'm walking down, I asked this parking attendant, like, hey, can you tell me the fastest way to get to the range? And she's like, oh, well, down by the South Gate. Well, she didn't know what the hell she was talking about, because it sent me clear. By the time you get in the South Gate, you're down by 5 green, Amen Corner, like 16 green. It is completely opposite of where I should have been. And I was supposed to, I don't know if you guys have like heard any of the stories, but people are like, don't forget to like hook up with friends about what time and where you're going to meet them, because
you have no cell phones. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's got to just be a nightmare of logistics. I mean, being a first timer, just showing up, like, where do you park? Where do you do this? Where is everything? Like, we all have seen all the holes and we know the map, but like, where do we go,
man? It is so much different. Even standing on the fairways and greens, you're kind of going, okay, where do I need to go to get up the range? And I was not gonna make it in time. I didn't make it in time, and they were literally about to walk away, and he had said to my wife before I got there, he's like, there's no chance we find it, like zero.
Yeah.
And right as they were walking away from the range, I was just getting the range, we ran into them, and I was like, oh, this is,
this is lucky that we did.
So as a first timer, I went through the South Gate, which takes you, like I say, by the 5th green and the 16th green, and then you have to walk all the way up. I don't know if that's better than going in through the main gate where you see everything from the top, right? Like, there's this big reveal at the top that I didn't see until after I had gone all the way through the rest of the course. And so there's probably both sides of the argument. I will say this, though, when I walked out on that 5th fairway to cross in front of the green, it's one of, like, you've heard through all of the broadcasts about how tiered and undulated that spine on 5 is and how big it is. And so when you get out there, you're just like, that is no joke. And it's an understatement. And so when you talk about living up to the hype, 100% lives up to the hype. It is not going to be possible for you, if you love golf, to not have it meet expectations, and likely it will far exceed them. It is. You know, Joe, I think you and I have talked about this before. It's similar to Bandon, where people can talk about it as much as they want until they actually go and experience it. It will meet expectations. And in, I would suspect in almost every case, it'll exceed.
Yeah. Love that.
Welcome to the show, Cyrus.
Hello, gentlemen. How is everybody?
Look at him with his best Jim good, Nance good. Voice.
Yeah. It was also Cyrus's first time, Jenner. So, and
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Very similar. Definitely agree with you on the fact that it exceeds expectations. It's it is amazing. Yeah, you can talk about it all you want. We're going to try to give everybody the best insight into what Augusta's like, but it is truly the best golf experience. It is so much better. I think, you know, what's interesting is, you know, when I, you know, here in Vegas, you know, you go see TPC Summerlin and, you know, you're watching it on TV for the Shriners Open. You know, that's our local Vegas one. And then you go to the course and you're like, yeah, like I've seen that on TV, you know, kind of similar, you know, like, cool. Like I'm here. It looks cool. And then when you get to Augusta, it's like, holy smokes, it looks nothing like you on TV. I mean, you know, you always hear this, we always hear this cliche, like you'll never believe the 10th hole. Like it's so much slope down that. Okay. Yeah, no doubt. 10 is a big downslope, but what you don't hear is that's basically all 18 holes. Like it is one of the hardest, hilliest walks. I mean, the first hole is straight uphill. Like it's straight up the hill on one, and you don't see that from the TV.
No.
I always thought one is, you know, basically a pretty flat tee shot, but I mean, it's up the hill. You got to carry it 315 to carry that bunker on the right, which, you know, going back to Sunday's coverage, I'm like, why did Bryson hit a three wood there? I'm like, what are you doing? Like your whole game is to bomb it with the driver there. You know, that basically got his round off to a terrible start on Sunday, but that, I mean, it's a, you know, huge upslope on one, huge downslope two. I mean, you're just up and down and up and down. So for me, my big takeaway was it's absolutely incredible that Tiger Woods can just walk that golf course, let alone play it, let alone compete at the highest level and make a cut. It's unbelievable. You know, and I mean, you know, we saw his body wear out. He didn't have he couldn't go the distance, you know, of 72 holes. It's a brutal walk. I mean, we walked it, you know, all day and I was exhausted, you know, at the end of that. I mean, it has got to be one of the toughest walks in golf. You know, just walking 18 at Augusta.
Wow. Yeah. Jenner, did you walk the whole course multiple times?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And that was one of the reasons why I was a little bit later than I should have been to meet my wife. Because you're just starstruck, but course struck, right? As I walked out on five, you walk across the fairway, you see the fairway to the left behind you and the green to your right. And you walk over, you're by six tee box and you look down and you see 16 green and you go down the hill and you're standing right next to where Tiger was standing when he chipped the shot in, like all the things, right? And then you walk all the way back up towards two, three and two and one, and we kind of make your way up to the range. And by like, I'm walking behind two and you're taking pictures looking at, cause on Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday, you can have cameras. Right. And so, you're just in awe about what's happening and sweating your face off at the same time. Yeah. It's such an uphill and downhill walk.
You were there during the tournament, right? The actual play.
I was there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So what do they just tell you? Don't even bring your camera. Don't even bring your phone. Just keep it at home or?
Well, you have to go, you have to pass through a security gate, you know, much like an airport. So, I mean, you're emptying your pockets out. And so if there's any, I mean, if you bring a camera, I mean, it's straight back to the car.
No, like your phone. Do they?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, no one
you not even to bring it.
Yes.
There's signs everywhere. And I mean, no one that I saw brought it. Yeah. We all kind of knew the protocol.
I was just curious if like, there's like you check your phone into a locker or.
They do have that.
They do. Have that.
So my wife, on Tuesday when she was trying to communicate with us right up until she got there. And when you walk through, they have a little hut that's basically for checking. You can just check your phone in, then you can go through.
Yeah.
How was that being around with no phones?
Okay. So that to me, that was my favorite part of Augusta.
I think it would be great.
Because I'm, you know, my wife is back with the kids here in Vegas. I just, you know, and you know, I'm on East Coast. So it's, you know, we're there at like 6:30 AM. So I'm sending her a text, you know, 3:30 here on the West Coast, but she's going to wake up to that. And I'm like, hey, just FYI, like I'm without a cell phone for the next 12 hours.
I'm off the grid.
I'm going off the grid. And, you know, there definitely can be some logistical things, but, you know, like trying to meet up with people, like, you know, you definitely have to, you know, manage that. But at the end of the day, it's like, hey, back in the day, that's what life was like. Yeah. And so what I loved about it was that, you know, we're all so addicted to our phones and we're just, you know, and inevitably, you know, you're going to be scrolling the leaderboard. You're going to be checking this. You're going to be checking that. You're probably going to use the Masters app to be rewatching shots. You're going to be posting stuff on Instagram. Let me go Instagram live. Like, you're going to be distracted. And so I really like it in the sense of it's just go and enjoy the golf, like the experience. And what's amazing is you go to the merchandise tent, which is inevitably at least a 30-minute queue, if up to an hour to get in there. And you're in a line for an hour. So what do you do? I mean, we would normally just pull out our cell phone, but no, you're in talking to everybody in the line. So everybody's having conversation. Every time you're sitting next to people on the greens, you know, in the concession stands, everybody's just chatting with everybody. And everybody there is so well behaved, so well mannered. You know, you obviously know about golf. You know, everybody is very knowledgeable. So you're having great, intelligent conversations with diehard golf fans. And it's just this utopia because, you know, you're just taking it all in. And it's really amazing. I have a kind of a side story. There's the number one golf course in China, really high-end private course, $1 million to join, right on the beach. It's a Core Crenshaw course. It's unbelievable. On the first tee, they have a box. The caddy comes out and it's like, here's a box, put your cell phone in. We don't allow you to use the cell phone. We'll come check on you in about an hour and a half, and you can like check your messages. But when you play this golf course, just enjoy it. Like we it's part of the experience. And everyone kind of like, yeah, fair enough. Like, so it sounds great. Like, let me just take this golf course in because it's phenomenal. So that's kind of like Augusta. You know, I went with one of my best buddies for 20 years. We went to college together. So, you know, we're there for 12 hours, just chatting, telling stories, meeting people. It was so mentally refreshing. And it's honestly like my highlight of the trip. It was awesome.
I love it. I mean, I you know, I'm obviously addicted to my cell phone also, you know, especially having little kids. It's like you worry about it. But when you are in the moment, things exist more fluidly and more colorfully. And, you know, like you're at the brim of 100% like max capacity. It makes the experience better. I mean, like it sounds like, for me, like an experience when we go to Bandon, like everybody is there for golf and it the Masters, everybody is there for the Masters. And it's awesome. I love it that they take the cell phones away because it is part of the history, the tradition. I mean, you get to experience it as it was. And there's probably no other place in the world where you get your cell phone taken away if it's not at like a comedy show, like where they're recording for Netflix or something like that, or like, and you can go to a concert and everybody's got their phones out and
that's all you see.
Yeah, I do it too. I record some of my favorite moments, like, you know, 20, 30 seconds, but like I put my phone down because it's like, experience it in the moment because take pictures with your head.
Yeah.
I will say this. Sorry.
No, Jenner, go ahead. Go ahead, Ben.
So I was going to kind of build on that, and that is, the interesting part about it is that it makes you almost realize what your priorities are, in the sense that you've got to figure out who you want to watch and where and how, because we set up chairs and then you're like, oh no, Hideki's coming up 5, but we want to go watch Rory on 12, or, you know, whatever it is. And you've got to figure out like what you really want to watch. And but you know, anyway, the most difficult part outside of the phone thing, that, you know, I think obviously not having your phone for the first little bit is a little bit weird, but
yeah, because you don't know what's going on, right? Is there like media hubs where you can see like a leaderboard and watch shots? There's nothing
nothing.
Yeah. So there's leaderboards obviously everywhere, but there's no, so like,
you gotta tackle Dottie. You gotta tackle Dottie and go tell me what's going on.
The amazing thing is the leaderboards are all old school leaderboards. So they're not like, you know, you go to TPC Shriners.
They're not live.
No, they're not live, but it's no
LED walls.
They're not LED walls. So, you know, you go to Shriners and it's like, you know, the 17th hole. Okay. You know,
all the stats, everything.
You know, this guy's just hit it to 10 feet, 4 inches. You know, he's ranked, you know, 92nd in the FedEx Cup points. His last finish on the, you know, you don't know it. So it's interesting.
Oh, Cyrus.
Oh, no.
There he is.
Hey, man.
I was tired of listening to you. Sorry.
Augusta with the cease and desist right there.
Yeah. Exactly. So what's cool about the leaderboard, though, is there's only 10 names on it, and it's the only old school one. So you don't have any idea where anybody is shooting, actually. unless you go
not even, it's not in order from top to bottom.
It's not. Yeah. It's just kind of, so it's like 10 random names that, you know, that maybe start off. Okay. This guy birdied the first two holes, but we'll put him on the board, but then maybe he goes cold. So he's, you know, he might be tied 20th. You don't really know until you go to the main Masters leaderboard and then kind of go check on over there. But it is kind of a unique thing about it. It's very much, you know, going back in time, and it's a more simple time. And I was so excited because we're walking, you know, from the car to there, and it's like, all right, we're about to pass through those gates into this like walk back in time, or you know, we can go have lunch for $4, you know,
It reminds me like when you're in middle school. Oh, and I was in middle school. Sorry, maybe not you guys, but when I was in middle school. You're at school and you're like, hey, I'll meet you at a.m. p.m. at 2 o'clock.
Get a corn dog,
and that's what you do. That's how you met up. There wasn't, you know, no tracer apps. There's no text messaging. There's no FaceTime. It's what.
But you can use the phone banks to call home if you need to make a call.
Did you guys call yourself? You guys called yourself, yeah. Left yourself a message or no?
I did not.
No, I did not. I was enjoying my technology free day. But
tell me about the roars. The crowd roars, because they always talk about it. It's you find out when something's going on because you hear the roar of the crowd. Is it different there?
Jenner, you want to take that one first?
Yeah, sure. That's where FOMO kicks
in. true.
Yes, it is very different. And when it happens on your hole or in your area, you're just stoked. But when it doesn't, you're like, what just happened? You know,
and so true.
And again, I was only there during the practice round. So for Cyrus, it's going to be a little bit different, because sometimes, depending on who it was, people are like waiting for that scoreboard to update, right? You're like, who was it? What happened? But you inevitably kind of can walk around and say, hey, what happened? And it's like telephone game. It's like one thing to the next. All of a sudden, it gets back to you on five.
That's how Rory going to live happened. The telephone game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally, right?
Yeah.
Totally. That was never going
to
happen.
Dan, you have to have an Augusta question. I'm going to make you talk.
I do. I want to know, is the pimento cheese really that good?
Ooh, great question.
Oh, great question. Great question. Jenner, how many pimento cheese did you have?
I had 1.5.
Okay, solid. I had two.
What about the ice cream sandwich?
Oh, those are amazing.
Georgia Peach. Probably the best thing in the
I don't know if you can see this or not, but Joel included the recipe to make them.
Oh, nice. Nice.
This,
yeah. So. It's honestly, you can eat good there. I liked the barbecued sandwich, the barbecue pulled pork sandwich for $3. That was pretty solid.
Probably the best one in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, the pimento is just, to be honest, it was good. It was really good. You know, it just, you know, I think it's kind of like one and done. Like, you're not going to load up on pimento cheeses, but you know, it's iconic.
Cheese and mayonnaise. Like,
yeah. I mean, I had one, and then the next day my buddy was like, you know, I'm kind of like one and done. I don't really, not my thing, but I'm going to do it. And then I was like, I'll have another one, you know, just because, you know, but sure, it's solid. It's
just
definitely solid.
Force them down.
I mean, I can get down on egg salad, bro. Like that's the one I want to try, because like, I'll stop at 7-Eleven and grab an egg salad sandwich, and my wife thinks I'm crazy, think I've been about to die, because
7-Eleven,
you know, like
7-Eleven. Who goes to 7-Eleven still?
7-Eleven makes a really good egg salad sandwich, man. Like, I'm down for that. Like, if you're in a pinch, bro, and you need
6-year-old bread.
Dude, so a little pro tip that I think. So pimento's definitely an acquired taste. Like when I first had, I was kind of like, okay, it's good, but it's not going to blow me out of the water.
Yeah.
However, pimento, toss out the first slice, and then, and then stack it on top of the egg salad sandwich. So you have like three pieces of bread and pimento and egg salad. And that's like,
Okay. That was our
Oh, Jenner coming in hot with the pro tip there.
With the master's food hacks.
The pimento.
7-Eleven rollers are fire.
It's like going to In-N-Out and asking for it animal style. You know, that's the Augusta.
Secret menu.
Menu. I saw one where someone said, take the pimento, take half off, and then throw it on the chicken sandwich.
Oh yeah. I saw that as well. I've seen that.
I mean, it's so cheap. I mean, it's so like affordable. You can
try different things.
Anything you want. Yeah, you can just.
That's great. Then you know, you get the Crow's Nest Select Draft beer for $6. That's a pretty solid experience there.
Yingling.
I think it's a local beer, but
did you guys see anyone that was like wasted, or like was there anyone like just having like a good time, like look buzz, look drunk, but like no one out of character, no one out of line?
It's definitely not a waste management experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, there's no liquor sales, right? So
yeah,
right. I saw one dude who was on his way back up to the range area that my buddy Cam was like, that dude better watch out. If Augusta officials see him walk on,
you're gone.
You're out. And so
he was wobbling. Sweater, but
yes,
you're leaving.
Yeah.
He was wobbling and it wasn't totally sure he knew where he was going. But for the most part, everyone is, you know, very much in the moment. Everyone's enjoying it. And
More important question, Cyrus. Did you get my green cup?
I did, actually. I got your green cup, buddy. I got you a green cup.
Yes.
You got my gnome too, right?
Oh my gosh. Can I, Jenner, did you get a gnome?
Oh, he's got it in the background.
It's on his shelf. Oh,
nice.
There's the other one right there.
I got it as well. So, my wife is just obsessed with this gnome, right? She's, you know, we got to get there. You got to get there early in the morning to get there. So long story short, it took me 3 days. I finally got there on the Friday and got it in the morning to get the gnome. So it's a very, very sought after item, but they're pretty cool.
Yeah, people are flipping them for $800, $1,000.
That's crazy. But I do have you did say something interesting in the moment, and I want to kind of share my Tiger experience at Augusta. So we were lucky to be there on.
Did
on
you see the note that he handed to Chipley?
I heard there wasn't a note.
Oh well,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. What is it?
A reporter asked him, hey, we saw Tiger hand you a note on the fairway. And he awkwardly looked to the right and looked back and went, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's what I That's funny. So let me, so we had a chance to see Tiger on Thursday. And you know, as you remember, on Thursday morning's play was delayed for about 3 hours. So Tiger didn't tee off till almost like 4:30, I think. Yeah, 4:30, almost 5. So it was almost 7 o'clock by the time he reached the 10th tee. So what's really cool is you know, Tiger still is the needle and really moves it. And so you're seeing these galleries of people going around, and all of a sudden, you know, Tiger's coming, you know, I told my buddy, I'm like, we need to post up on 10, and let a couple groups come through. Because, you know, obviously we need to be a good position to be able to see Tiger actually hit the ball. But so, you know, as these groups are coming through, you just see this huge mass of people coming. You're like, okay, that's Tiger's group. Obviously Tiger's on 9 green now. Mm-hmm. And what was really cool though, is that you saw that the scene behind the 10th tee was awesome because you had the Morehouse College golf team, which is a predominantly black school or historically black school. So they are there, you know, they got 12 guys all in their Morehouse College, you know, golf uniforms. They got all 12 of them behind the 10th tee. Then you've got the two founders of Eastside Golf, both sitting there as well, all swagged up in their Eastside, both of them smoking big stogies. And, you know, like everyone's kind of posting up because it's getting late. It's almost 7 p.m. You know, most people have been there all day. So basically everyone has this idea, like, let's watch Tiger tee off on 10 and then bounce. Then we're going to go home.
Yeah.
So, and that was our plan as well. So anyways, we're literally like right standing at the tee marker, you know, the right tee marker. So we're right in front of where he's going to play. And you just see Tiger walk up. And I've seen Tiger a lot over the years in person and playing, but there was something about seeing him at Augusta where I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's Tiger Woods at Augusta. Like, this is like, I got goosebumps. I'm like, man, we got Morehouse College, the 12 black boys here, you know, like, you know, representing, you know, obviously, like, there's got to be their hero, right? You got the East Side, you got the East Side boys there smoking big cigars, like, all right, what, well, this is what's up, you know, I'm gonna see my boy. And then, you know, I know you heard Max Homa's comment where he's like, you know, a lot of the time I was kind of watching him as a fan as well, you know, in the group. Yeah. And it's, you're just kind of like, oh my gosh, like, I'm, you know, and it's great because, you know, if cell phones were there, everyone would just be recording everything, but no, you're just living in the moment. And it's his, it's just this presence. It's his posture. It's his stride. It's really just his aura that is just so incredible to watch. And, you know, I was just obsessed. I'm like 2 feet from him. And so he gets his glove on and he, like, you know, wets his, like, licks it. He licks his thumb and he's like putting it right down the middle of the gum, that glove. So he licks it and he's like putting it right in the middle of the glove. And he does like 7 times in a row. I'm like, wow, I've never seen that before. You know, like, just right down the palm, right, you know, palm. And then he grabs his club and he's, you know, practicing his grip and he's, you know, just making sure, like, okay, this thing's ready. And that tee shot, I mean, it's got to be a 20 mile an hour headwind. I mean, it is just blowing straight into the face. And I'm like, man, if I had to play this hole par four, I'm like, I don't know if I can get down in five. Like, this thing is tough. You know, like, this is not the tee shot that I want to hit. And I mean, he takes 3 wood out and just hits this amazing roping hook around the corner there and just flights it, just kind of a stinger low draw. And I'm like, wow, that was just awesome. Like, I'm like, we're living the dream, man. Like, watching Tiger Woods at Augusta. Awesome. And then as soon as, like, you know, Homa hits a great 3 wood, almost kind of the same line. I think Cameron Young was the third in that group. So all three of them hit great tee shots. But I cannot tell you how difficult that wind was. Like, it was for him to shoot, I think he shot 73 the first round. Like, that's incredible. Incredible score. Yeah. For him to grind out that, I mean, because I could only imagine what, you know, the 12th hole in that Amen corner, that wind must have been swirling, just a total guess. Like, I don't know, just grab a club and try your best. I mean, who knows what the wind's going to do? But
I loved that this week. They were all like looking in the clouds and like, what's going on? Like, I
stumped. A lot of them are stumped.
I loved that it played hard. I mean, we haven't seen it play that hard ever, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's been a while. It was so cool to see them. And like, I'm a huge fan of Max Homa, right? So no, like, Homa's, it was awesome. You know, and that shot on Sunday with the bounce into the bushes, but dude held his own. It was
great. He laid up on 13.
It goes into bushes, it's over.
You can't call yourself a dog. He lost it. And he lost on 13.
No, he lost it.
Well, you know, I think what was unfortunate for Homa is that he probably played the best round on Saturday. I mean, he had 17 pars, 1 bogey.
Yeah.
Didn't really get anything out of that round. It's one of those rounds where you just hit it awesome and you just don't get anything out of the round. Like, 73 is the highest score he could have possibly shot. I mean, that could have easily been a 68, you know, just the way that he was hitting it. So it got a little unlucky. I was really thinking he would be there on Sunday, just kind of like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy just rattles off 3 birdies in a row, because he's due. Like, this dude's due. And it just never came, you know, and then he just got that bad break on 12. And that's just sometimes, remember Xander a couple years ago, he was right in contention. And then on 16 hit it right in the water. Right. And it's man, like, you're right there. And then gone.
All right. Yeah. So you were close enough to Tiger. Did you hear the mechanical leg?
I didn't. He looks great. I mean, I think that's the sad thing about Tiger is I just think it's the stamina of physically walking for 72 holes.
Oh yeah, it's tough.
I don't think it's not hitting balls. Like, no. Like, the dude can hit the shots, and
his upper body is envious. I mean, good lord,
man, he just looks ripped. He just looks so good. And you know, the other guy that looks really good is Bryson. I mean, that guy's just fit and just strong. I mean, like, total credit to Bryson. That guy has really, I mean, upped his game. I mean, it's impressive. I mean, it's impressive how he's hits the driver. And he, we watched him on 10 as well. And he went over that left tree. He like went over the tree with driver and just smashed it, hammered it. And just, I mean, he must have had a wedge in, you know, I mean, it's just crazy.
Beautiful, beautiful golf courses chimed in on Instagram, and they said, "Don't think many people appreciate that Tiger is lucky to have both of his legs. He had compartment syndrome requiring fasciotomy, and one of his legs. Most people get their leg amputated with that." And he also played 23 holes on Friday.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's what I meant. Like, is that it's amazing that he can just physically walk that golf course, just that alone, you know. And he's definitely lucky to have both legs. I mean, it's incredible. And you're right, that really really wore him out. I think because there's no doubt, Tiger before round, he must have at least an hour and a half, if not 2 hours, of prep time just to get the body ready. Right, I'm sure he's got
6 hours of rehab.
Oh, I mean, so I bet you he didn't sleep much at all. Because on Friday night, it's the whole routine to, you know, recover and then try to get ready. And then I got to run back out there the next morning. So I'm sure that Thursday night to Friday morning flip would have been tough.
Did you catch Tiger, Jenner, or no? Did you see him?
I absolutely did. And where we were parked on Monday, we sat right behind him on 6. And so it's him and JT and Freddie. It was pretty fantastic. It was funny because Tiger and JT both hit, I don't know, 7 iron or something like that. Because the tee is all the way back on 6 during the practice rounds because they have the netting throughout the rest of the tee box. So you're literally 6 feet away from these guys teeing off. And Tiger gets up, stripes one, Justin hits one. Amazing. And then Freddie gets up and he just slaps down a ball, and he has some kind of a hybrid or a wood, and they're like laughing about it, and he just gets up and does his Freddie, you know, smooth swing, and they're Tiger and Justin are both like, what is that club? And Freddie's like, I don't know. And Tiger goes, a 9, an 11? He goes, I don't know, maybe a 5. And Tiger grabs it. Oh, yeah, that's exactly. He grabs it, he flips it up, and he goes, I think I'd have to hit a flop shot. And he does, like, this fake flop shot. So it was cool to see Tiger, like, not in his competitive spirit.
Being human.
Having fun.
Being
human.
Yeah, it was cool.
Okay, so you were both on property. How many times did you shake Greg Norman's hand and tell him how awesome he is? Because according to him,
every chance I got.
Everybody did that.
Yeah, his wrists hurt. He needs wrist surgery now, supposedly.
Oh man, that's too funny. I would have liked to see him. I didn't see him there, but it would have been fun.
No, Cyrus, you definitely should have seen him. I mean, he was there shaking everybody's hand.
I know. I'm the one guy he missed. I must have been in the concession stand eating my pimento cheese.
In the crowd, since you guys were engaging with more people and talking because we weren't on our phones, what was the live? Was there any live talk? Is it present in a major?
Yeah, the only talk that I saw was there was a lot of chatter about Brooks, you know, pre-tournament. I mean, there was a lot of betting on Brooks. And so I think a lot of people were kind of, you know, chatting about him. I mean, we watched him on Wednesday and he was really hitting it good and just, you know, dialed in. And actually, you know, Brooks went to Florida State, same university as me. So my buddy and I, you know, we were, you know, doing this Seminole chop and, you know, like, hey, Florida State, let's go. And actually we were right next to his dad. We were next to Bob Koepka without knowing that until he walked off the green and he came over. He's like, hey dad, you know, I'll meet you over here. And we're like, oh, sweet. You know, Bob Koepka. And we had a little chat with his dad for a little bit. And we're like, yeah, you know, a lot of people are betting on Brooks this week. You know, we're rooting behind him. And, you know, he's like, you know, we told him, like, yeah, we went to Florida State and, you know, we're just real big supporters of him. And he said, well, I appreciate that. You know, thanks for supporting Brooks. And he's like, yeah, you know, he does a lot of work with the Florida State team. He's like, they actually just won a tournament last week. And you know, after they won, he flew the whole team back home private. And then he went over and meeted them down in Tallahassee. And he, you know, spent like a hell afternoon with them. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. You know, that's great to hear, you know, that he's doing stuff like that. And so that was the only live thing that I heard. There was just a lot of pre-tournament buzz about Brooks Koepka. But a couple of guys like, oh man, he shot like 77 in the last round and lived Miami. And then people are like, you think he gives a crap about Live Miami? Like, he's here for the majors, man. And you know, that's about it. I didn't hear much else for me, at least.
Jenner, you?
Nothing. Honestly, like, yeah. It was not about Liv. In fact, for me, the most interesting thing is that there were even very few after their performance last year. I was very surprised that more people weren't talking about any of the Liv guys.
Right.
But I think the only guys that were really on the radar, in my opinion, from what I had heard pre-tournament, was Brooks. Like you mentioned, Cyrus, and then Bryson was a little bit in that conversation. Yeah. Outside of that, there wasn't like a lot of conversation around it. So it didn't totally surprise me. There wasn't a lot of live talk, but it's interesting because when you get on that property, it is very much like, I just want to go watch these guys play. Everyone seems to forget about where they're playing and where they're at. Like it didn't, none of it mattered except for whether or not you were going to be able to go watch them. So I thought that's one of the spectacular things about the Masters too.
Yeah. I did get a text from a buddy. He's like, how do you feel about the live players playing on the PGA Tour events? And I was like, well, the Masters is not a PGA Tour event.
Right.
And none of the majors are PGA Tour events. And I think it's awesome that they all get together four times a year to play. You know, like a Bryson is a captivating character in golf. Brooks is a captivating character in golf. Cam Smith is probably one of the best putters there is. And I'm glad that we get to see all of them come together at least four times a year. I think it should be a few more than that, which I'd love because that's what brings them all together. And Scotty's the guy at the top currently. I mean, dude can't miss. Rory helped him put a putter or a mallet putter in his hand and look out, you know? So it's like, I'm glad that there's at least four times a year where we get to see all of these guys get together.
I can agree to that.
Oh, definitely. I think it's just nice with Augusta and the majors in the sense of, hey, if you qualify, you're in. So don't care what tour you play on, right? Go play on the Sunshine Tour. You qualify. You're in here. You know. So
yeah, there's no special sauce to it. It's like if you like Joaquin Neiman, played his way in, he got in.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're in, you're in. You know, I think that's one of the great things that Augusta did is like they didn't open any special like window for the live players to get into. It's the same.
It's the same.
They're still there. So it's like, I love it.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, gonna go back. Are you gonna go back? Are you gonna try to go back? Would you go back, or is it you've gone? You've seen it. You saw Tiger. Other things to do.
I'll go back to the tournament. Oh, I definitely would go back. Yeah. I mean, I think it's. You know, it is a pilgrimage that every golfer needs to go. Like, I think that should be on the bucket list of every golfer. Like, you've got to go to Augusta National. It is the mecca of golf. I mean, I don't think there's anything that can compare to that. And, Jenner, I think you probably agree, you know, like, when you go there, you can't appreciate just the size of Augusta National. You know, you've got the 18-hole course, but it's everything in that. You know, like, the whole parking lot around it, the concession stands, the pro shop. I mean, that's just an unbelievable experience to get in there. You know, is unbelievable. I mean, they're turning over $1 million in revenue every hour in that pro shop.
Jesus.
I mean, it is insane. And when you go there, it's massive. I mean, it's a very, very large area that fits.
The factory, right?
What's incredible is just the logistics, right? I mean, there's got to be a team of at least 200 people, you know, managing that, if not more, you know, and I was, you know, the first day when I didn't get the gnome, I was just like, oh man, there's got to be some more gnomes in the back. And then the lady's like, we've got pallets of gnomes in the back,
but you know,
yeah, but it's, you know, there's certain allocation for every single day and come back tomorrow. And, you know, there's no like rule breaking in Augusta, you know, there's just, everybody kind of gets it. Everybody's, you know, everybody follows the rules, everything's done. And, but I mean, I don't know, Jenner, how many people do you think in there at one time inside the actual shopping thing? I mean, it's well over 1,000 people easily.
Yeah, it depends on which one you're in. Some of them are a little bit smaller than others, but there's it's mass. I mean, it So you guys are, I'm trying to like put this in the context of some like of the different place, but like the Paiute like check-in, like the pro shop area.
Yeah.
It's probably similar. It's the one on the South Gate that I'm talking about, probably similar in size to that, but there's obviously shelves of things, and you've got different rooms that you've got to go in, and then you obviously have the checkout stand where there's, I don't know, there's probably 50 or 60 people that are waiting to check people out. Yeah. And they're super efficient. Yeah. It's pretty spectacular. And so, yeah. But yeah, it's like for me, when you talk about going back, it is an absolute no-brainer. I totally agree with Cyrus that every single golfer should find a way to get there. I would even
lottery.
I would even suggest saying screw you to the lottery and just going and scalping tickets if you had to on the main road, because those are all, at least from what my experience, they're all legitimate. But you know, Cyrus is talking about it being like the golf mecca. You know, I know you point your band in hat. It's very different though, right? Like I've also gone to I've had the privilege of playing the Old Course as well. It's a very similar feeling to that because of the history that exists in those areas. The difference is Augusta is so spectacularly beautiful that it doesn't compare to any other place. The other thing I think about when I walk down those or walk over past through those fairways is how wide they are. I'm like, how do these guys miss the fairway?
Oh man, that fairway on 5 is just enormous. It's got to be 100 yards wide on 5.
It's massive. But you also realize the way that the course was designed is that it doesn't make the fairways that easy to hit all the time. You know, whether you're looking even number
something
one
in the way example. Or you're out of position or
Yeah, there's a bunker that's there. There's a tree that overhangs. You know, 17 is a classic one where it's a pretty straight tee shot. It's relatively wide fairway. But if you're on the left side of the fairway, you have a massive tree that overhangs. You can't get through. So the way that it's set up really is genius. It's I can't imagine trying to play my own ball there. I think I'd probably be okay in hitting fairways, but I'm sure my score would actually be horrible just because it's
gotta,
not about
gotta hit a high cut off of a hook lie, according to Brandel Chamblee.
Yes,
so. That's right. Yeah.
Cyrus, what are you shooting?
You know, I got to be honest with you. I went out there and I was looking at it and I thought I wasn't that intimidated by it. You know, I mean, and I'm not trying to say that I'm some amazing golfer, but I think I was just more so excited to be there. And I'm just like, man, I was like, man, I'd love to give this a go. Like, I think I could do it, because I think with the, you know, I have an interesting story. I might've told this one before, but I had a chance to meet Henrik Stenson and he was telling me about Augusta playing it. And he had basically said, it's a very difficult golf course to play because it's all quadrant golf. You've got to hit it in the right spot of the green. So if you can hit that spot, you're going to have a great chance at a birdie. You miss that spot, you're screwed. So it's really, so he said for him, he goes, in a typical round of golf, if you look at 18 approach shots, he goes, about 50% of the time, I'll have my number, you know, it'll be, okay, it's 165. That's a stock 8-iron. I'm going to go right at the hole because it just works perfectly. And then the other the other 50% of the time, I don't really have my right number. So I'll just aim center of the green, hit it in the center, 2-putt for par and get out. So that's kind of his strategy on how he attacks the golf course. And he said, Augusta is not like that because there's not you cannot aim for the center of the green and just be like, I'll just play to the center, get a 2-putt and get out. Because if you hit it to the center, it's not in the right quadrant. It's going to roll off the green and you've got now a 30-yard chip. He said, that's the difference with Augusta. So you've got to be able to hit those sections of the green and know where to miss and just really be very smart. And I think that's why Tiger won in 2019, because there's nobody in the world that can plot himself around the golf course like Augusta than Tiger Woods. I mean, he knows every inch of that place and he knows exactly where to miss the shot. He knows where is good. And so he can, you know, simply just be patient and plot your way around that golf course. So I don't know what I would expect. I mean, to be honest, I probably wouldn't break 90. You'd just be out of the pressure and just the awe of it. But the one thing that Jenner and I got going, if we were to play that, is I have had a few friends of mine that have played it, and they did say when you are a guest of a member, you have to play way up. So you're playing like 6,300 yards. So my buddy hit. Yeah. So he's like, you know, you're not playing the 7,500 yards. You know, you're playing way up. He's like, yeah, 13 was like, you know, 450 par five. So it's like, actually wasn't too hard. You know, I hit like driver 9 iron and made a birdie. He's like, that was pretty cool. So, you know, that, you know, maybe we would shoot lower, you know, if we're playing those tees. So I don't know. I'd love to give it a try.
in those conditions though.
On that wind, I mean, there's in that first day on Thursday, there's no chance breaking 100 for me. I guarantee you. I mean, wow. There's no chance.
It looked fucking brutal.
I mean, sure. that was just unbelievable. But how windy that was. I was some of the strongest wind I've seen on the golf course. It was crazy.
Beautiful golf course asked, did you guys notice the grass was painted anywhere? Rumor has it the fairways are painted if it's been dry. You tell it all?
I don't think they did.
I could not tell. And a lot of times when things are painted, it wears off onto your shoes.
Shoes, yeah.
Right.
That's usually a telltale sign.
Jenner, did you notice though, like between, you know, like when you get past near the clubhouse and, you know, where everybody's walking, did you notice that there are some parts where there's some grass coming in and there's also some turf that kind of like overlay in there? Mm-hmm. So I think there's, because you think about like around the ninth green and 18 green, there's a lot of people because that's all near the clubhouse.
Yeah, it's got to get beat up.
So, I mean, it would get beat up, but it's all green. It's all green. And then when you're walking on it, there's like a combination of sand, a little bit of turf, and then a little bit of grass. You're like, what is it? What is it am I actually walking on? Is this like, I didn't know. I didn't know exactly because it's not like a clear, like, okay, here's turf. Here's you know.
You're walking on Augusta, grass. Bro.
Oh yeah. So yeah. I mean, but it
feels so good. It feels like turf.
Yeah.
I would suspect there are some areas that are spray painted, but I don't believe that all the fairways or whatever. I think the way that they oversee just makes it so that they're ready to go by.
Hey, Steve Wynn used to paint all the palm trees at the Mirage.
That's fun.
Paint them what, brown?
You no, paint the palm green. Tree?
Oh, the palm trees? Green?
Oh, yeah,
wow.
they
No, they just told him that they spray painted him. He couldn't see him.
Yeah, he couldn't tell. Yeah. Jeez.
Paint those.
Steve, I got it.
That's funny.
We're up here. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's a little Steve Wynn humor there for everybody that knows he's a blind fool right now. So. All right, let me do this giveaway that we had last week. Let me bring this up and we will spin the wheel of names. And so we had 16 people in this. Jenner, pick a number between 1 and 3 or 1 and 4.
Okay, 4.
4. Okay, shuffle once. Oh, I gotta do it on the screen. Shuffle once, twice, 3 times. 4 times and spin with the old school CDP logo too.
Like, who's we got?
Hey, Summers 18. All right.
Nice. Look at this. Summers Wheel of Names.
18. I really wanted somebody. Hey, congrats. I'll tag you in this in the video that you left the you know what? Let's do this in case they don't, because we messed
just
up
in
last
case.
Time.
Yeah.
Just in case. So let me spin again. 1, 2 is Big BX24. Just in case. All right, so that is that. I really wanted somebody from the VGN to win and somebody from the VGN that was playing Saturday, so I didn't have to mail this. Oh, well. But yes, this is what's coming to you. Congratulations. I'm going to copy down that recipe first.
Yeah, shout out to Atomic Golf. Thanks for joining last weekend.
That was
last week.
Awesome. Let's see, we got anything else, Masters, you want to talk about? Anything you guys want to maybe?
I have one quick question still, actually two quick questions. Cyrus, you said that when you play there with a member, you can't play the tips. Like, that's like not an option.
It's not an option.
No, you can never play them.
Yeah, that's
it sucks.
Yeah, like tournament tees are closed. No dice.
So when Dan Patrick boasted about shooting 78 at Augusta, it was from 6,000 yards?
It would have been from like 6,400, maybe 6,400 at most.
Yeah. Second question is, what's the deal with the chairs there? Like, if you post your chair up somewhere, like, nobody can fuck with it? Like, and you could take off and then come back and your chair's going to be there or something like that?
Exactly right.
Exactly right. So I got a good story about
system, huh?
It, well, this is what Augusta's like, right? So, Jen, I heard you came in from the South Gate. I came in from the North Gate, which is, I think, the main entrance there. And so when you kind of go through the North Gate, you have this big tunnel that you go through. You're walking in, and then you're kind of going down the hill. And as you go down the hill, the first thing you see is the line to go to the main pro shop, you know, to go buy all your swag and stuff. Now, this line is incredible. You know, it's a very long line. And, you know, when you're first there, I'm like, oh, what are these people lining up for? And they're like, oh, yeah, merchandise. And so anyways, you get in this line and there's so many people around working there. So they're saying like, oh, okay, keep to the left, keep to the right, like stay in your line. And then all of a sudden inevitably there was a little bit of a gap there. So about a 5-foot gap. And these two guys come over and they just kind of jump in the line. And so, they cut off quite a lot of people. And they didn't do it on purpose. They just thought that's where the line was because there was a 5-foot gap. And interesting enough, one of the guys, he goes, excuse me, sir, the line actually starts over here. He's like, let's just keep it classy. Everybody move over. And he's like, oh, the line starts over there. Oh, my apologies. Let me, I thought the line started here. Totally my mistake. I'll go right to the back of the line. And so it was nothing like, no, everybody just gets it there. Like no one's trying to do anything wrong. Or so, yeah, you plop your chair down. No one's going to mess with that. And it's total honor system. Wow. I mean, I think like everybody there is just well-behaved. Well, you know, I think if you dropped your wallet, I think someone would be like, oh man, let's go return this to lost and found. This guy's dropped his wallet. Like that's just the,
oh, we put a 10 spot in there for you too.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're a little low on funds.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's awesome. Yeah. I don't think you have no issues with that. And it's pretty cool because when you buy the chair for $35, you can buy it in the merchandise tent. Mm-hmm. And then they have a little name tag holder in the back. So people sometimes drop their business card or they'll just write on a white piece of paper, you know, Dan, and they just put it in, pop it there and good to go.
So you return that at the end of the day?
I think that's yours to keep.
Oh, you can just keep. Oh, no shit.
I think so. I didn't buy one. Jenner, did you buy one?
Absolutely.
Nice. I didn't buy one. I just walked. I didn't pitch up at all. I was getting my thousands of steps.
So what I, again, this is coming from my buddy, but he's like, essentially, wherever the chairs are seated, like if no one's sitting there, you can actually go sit in the chairs. But it's very much the etiquette that if that the owner of that chair comes back, you immediately have to move. So I don't know how frequently that actually happens because we had our chairs posted up a bunch, another few people that we knew that were part of that, the business that my buddy was with, they were posted up on 16 and there's a ton of empty chairs anyway. And so we didn't ever have any issues with anybody in our chair, but there was a time we were sitting on 17 on Monday where when we left, there was somebody sitting behind us and we're like, hey, if you guys want to sit right here while we're gone, I've had it, you know? And so that was nice. But the the thing that I love about this, and Cyrus, you alluded to this, is that one of the greatest things, and in my opinion, probably the greatest thing about Augusta is it almost restores your faith in the human race. Like everyone is, they have such great etiquette. Everyone is so polite. Cyrus mentioned like waiting in line, talking to people. I would actually compare that to like riding the shuttle at Bandon, Joe. You know, you're like, everyone's like, where are you guys going to play today? Oh, we're at Sheep. Oh, we played that yesterday. It's so amazing. Yeah. You know, like, but it's different at Augusta. It's more like, who are you going to watch? And oh, we were over on 6 and I saw Tiger and oh, and we, you know, and that's, everyone, the amount of respect that people have, everyone is so happy because they're in a happy place. Like you talk about the happiest place on earth, it is Augusta National.
Definitely. And,
that is where I, that like what I came away from Augusta with was, again, a little bit of that restored bit of faith in the human race, just because you're like, there are so many freaking good people, like
so many good people.
And this just reminds you of how good etiquette and respect, really are in this world, and how much better the every situation can be if we can implement that. And so, you know, I'll step off my soapbox, but that's like really the one thing that I love it about
that. That's really good.
Yeah. There's something about the South too, I think, that has to be said. 100% general.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because we've been to Georgia, Matt, Joe, and I. We went to Georgia to Lake Oconee. It was awesome. The people were so nice, and just they weren't like, you could just tell it was like they're not stressed. Like when you're in a big city like Vegas, or you know, I'm from Southern California, just outside of Los Angeles, like everybody's stressed, everybody's in a hurry. And it just seems like over there, they couldn't care less about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And same, like, you know, Joe and I went to North Carolina. Same thing. I was in South Carolina at Kiowa Island not too long ago. Same thing. It's just a different vibe over there. And it's just, I think, like, the respect and just general courteousness is a huge thing in the South. And I appreciate it. I love it.
Dude, I'd agree with that.
I got a funny story. The first time I went back my wife's from Alabama. So the first time we went back to visit her family, I'd never been to Alabama. I'm a desert boy. So it was wild seeing how green everything was and how nice people are. Yeah. And I was in the automotive industry, you know, for 25 years. And there's a curse word in every other word in the automotive industry behind the scenes. You know, not in sales, not in service, but the mechanics and the parts guys and all. It's foul-mouthed and just hostility. And so we go there. We were gone for a week, and we come back. And I go into work and I walk in, I'd been off a week. I'm like, hey, what's up? And my boss is like, you fucking piece of, you didn't do this, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Welcome back.
I was gone 7 days and didn't hear one word of hostility at all, ever. I was here a minute.
Yeah. Welcome home.
So yeah, welcome home.
You must not be folding burritos for vegetarians at Chipotle. So,
shout out, Bobby. Mr. West.
Oh, just don't be a vegetarian in the South. If you're not a vegetarian and you're going to the South, you're good. But if you're a vegetarian,
it was everything with him though. The coffee, the Starbucks,
I really thought I was gonna have to pull Bob off a barista at a truck stop in the middle of fucking Alabama.
I love Bobby. Miss you, Bobby.
Oh, love that. Okay, so. I think that Joe, you got anything else Augusta wise you want to cover?
I don't think so. Not that I could think of. I did get my badges, which shout out Whatnot. I think we're gonna have Thrifty Golf DMV on one of these days. I think it's gonna be really cool to get the behind the scenes of the Whatnot vibes and like a thrifting golfer for resale.
Iris, have you gotten into Whatnot yet?
No.
They're really
live auction?
Yes.
They're cool.
Joe's addicted.
Joe, yeah. I thought I was gonna get addicted, so I just stopped. I can't do this.
Yeah.
But I did win a really sick Bednardi putter.
I got like a 2000 spectator guide, which is really cool if you open it up. Vijay Singh year. I mean,
well,
they did a lot of master shows last week, so it was cool.
Cyrus, were you guys down there for the par three contest at all?
I was.
How's that little par three course? Is that sick or what?
It's amazing. It's Augusta. You know, if Augusta National were to build a par three course, it looks like that. I mean, it's awesome. Like they're, you know, like the, I mean, what I was amazed was, is it was so packed, right? Because that's the only like kind of tournament that's going on Wednesday, and everybody wants to see all the legends. And I mean, but it's not an easy golf course by any stretch of the imagination. It's
you see a ton of guys hit it in the water.
Oh, it's tricky. Like, and that was a windy day. You know, it was Wednesday, was wind. I mean, you got like 88 yards to this little kind of peninsula green, you know, and you're high elevation, you know, you're good like 20 yards above. I'm like, geez, that's a tricky little shot to a tiny green, and there's patrons everywhere. So it's a tricky one. And I was looking up some of the history there, and Jimmy Walker has the course record.
Yeah, he does.
With a 19.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Utah guy right there.
19. Like, golly, that's unbelievable. So it's pretty sweet though. I mean, it's pretty good. And what I've had a couple, like I mentioned, my buddy that played it, he played, how about this for a day? He got invited to Augusta. He did 36 holes at Augusta plus the par three course in a day. And that was the number treated him. And he was so pumped because he's like, you're so nervous the first 18. So I'm so glad I got to play it again. I'm like, wow, I got to play it twice. Yeah. And he's like, that's and then amazing. The par three. I'm like, wow, you had a day, bud.
We flew to Pine Valley.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah.
But hit up Cypress Point before we went over to Terra Edie.
Yeah.
Jenner, did you catch eyes on the par three course?
Nope.
At all? No.
Nope. I was like just focused on the 18.
Nice. I would love to play that, but I mean, I feel like it's hard to beat the Preserve. That's all I'm saying. Like,
I cannot abandon
in his veins. No. He's just it's part of his DNA now.
That is the reason why Joe and I even met. So he knows that I feel exactly the same way. In fact, whenever, even earlier tonight, I'm like, I'm hopping on this podcast with Hitting Greens. I met at Las Vegas, and she's like, "What? How did you meet him?"
Yeah,
I only had a bandit shirt on. I just went up, and I was like, "Bro, when's the last time you went to bandit?"
Fun fact, I've
never even been to Oregon before.
Yeah, you got to get Cyrus, there.
Cyrus. Cyrus, you got to go.
What?
You
got to stop.
Never been.
Joe, you're going in August, right?
Yeah, Matt, me, Dan. There's eight of us going. Biggest group ever. I can't wait to get back.
I got
shorties. We're playing shorties.
Oh, we missed it by 2 months. We went in February.
Can I be first alternate? Do you have a first alternate yet?
We've already gone through an alternate.
We've already. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, it was hilarious because Julian unfortunately couldn't go, and so I knew somebody that would go in a second, and so I called up Steven Jackson and I go, hey, so, you know, we're all going to band in August. And
he goes, I'm in.
He goes, yeah. I really like the way this conversation is going right now.
nice. Good for him.
He knew. And he's like, in.
Nice.
I said, okay. He goes, I don't care. In.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So best deal on the property while you're there. This is the shout out, Bannon, is the Yeti. The Yeti, it is the best deal that you will get on property.
Good to know.
Keep my eye out.
I have so many water bottles though. Good.
Throw all the other ones away. They don't have the Bannon Dunes logo on it.
That is true. They do not.
Awesome.
Joe, you're on mute. We can't.
You're on mute, Joe.
I was just saying, Cyrus, you have to go. Like that should be.
How have you not been? You're a world traveler, and Oregon's
I also thought we were gonna get a dance some guest appearance here. He's in town.
He's watching the Canucks game. I try to get him out. He's like, I'm watching. I'm like, dude, it's like they're up 3-0. Like, come on.
Yeah. But you have to get to Bannon. You got.
I will. We are planning a trip with the Dansom and all of our Vancouver buddies. We're going to plan October 25. But
Book it right now.
Because yeah, it hasn't opened yet. I think it opens like in the next couple of days.
Got to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
All right. So Jeremy and I are next week. The end of next week, Jeremy and I are both going to be in Miami.
Nice.
And so I looked at the park today. Do you know how much it is to play there?
What's the park?
It's that Gil Hance, Jim Eng.
It's in West Palm.
Yeah. It's a Muni, but they redid it. Really cool logo. Sick logo, a little parrot.
Guess how much a Saturday tea time is there for a out-of-state resident?
Is it like 120?
It's 240.
Oh, damn. Dan's looked. Yeah. $240 bucks. And
it's before, a municipal?
Before 9 a.m.
For Muni.
It's Muni. Walking only and a caddy is required at $120 a bag.
What?
Wow.
So they're we're inclusive to everyone. Yeah. If you make $100K a year.
Wow.
That's I couldn't ridiculous. Believe how expensive. But
that's crazy for Muni.
Yeah, that's not Muni.
No. I mean, Torrey Pines is that much, but Torrey Pines is also US
Open. It's also Torrey fucking Pines.
Yeah. But still, that's insane.
So I told Jerry, he's like, well, maybe we'll play Doral.
I'm looking at
Hans must be making money in perpetuity or some shit. You know?
Wow. I'm looking at the website. That's insane.
Yeah. And it's a 10-day booking window. So we can't even book until, you know, later on this week. Wow. If we wanted to play, but
make sure you go get a sandwich from La Sandwichery. Go to La Sandwichery, get a sandwich. All right. Just do that. And you'll be fine.
Should I use Yelp?
Get you a knee, Sando.
Nope, you got me. I've been there many times.
Someone scrolled in the comments earlier said Joe's never done me wrong on food.
I thought he only recommended bean and cheese burritos.
That's here in Vegas.
And 7-Eleven egg salad sandwiches.
Oh yeah.
Egg salad sandwiches.
I'm getting my food references from a guy who trusts his gut to 7-Eleven egg salad.
There's no good bean and cheese burritos in Florida. It's black beans and plantains. That's what you get out there. Too far away.
Big, a lot of water to cover to get there. All right. So, we got a VGN tournament this weekend. the Augusta stuff went way long and I'm thrilled. So don't think that I'm harping on that whatsoever. You can see it scrolling on the bottom of the screen right now. We got the standings for the CDP versus the world. Joe's fallen, man. Come on, Joe. You're look where you're at. 16.
Yeah, I mean it happens, bro. golf is not a consistent sport. You fall off and you come back.
Unless you're Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah. Unless you're Tiger Woods. Scottie's got a long way to go to break that record. So
absolutely. But Scottie's got what, 3 wins and a second in his last 4 starts? He's made $20 million in a month
at the Arnold Palmer, at the Players, and at Augusta. That's and insane. He finished second in San Antonio.
Can we talk about real quick how bullshit it is that that the Players and Arnold Palmer pays more than the Masters?
Yeah.
PGA Tour events.
I mean, I get it, but come on. That should be an easy $5 million to win the Masters.
Well,
easy.
did you see the comment, like, do you think that the Players would play Masters if there wasn't a purse?
For sure they would.
Absolutely they would.
I don't think it's the purse. I think it's the, not the purse.
Yeah, I don't think Augusta's really too keen on raising it. I don't think they care.
Coming back every year, it's the legacy, it's the jacket,
it's the legacy.
Dinner,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, think about why Rory had to turn down that $850 million. He wouldn't be exempt. And dude hasn't won a major in 10 years. I mean, he's obviously in the top 50 in the world. But, you know, if he joined LIV, you know, that, you know, would he be still top 50 in the world a year from now? You know, he might not ever have a chance to win the Grand Slam. Like, what's that worth in his career?
It's true. Yeah.
What is the top finishers that get invited back? Where do you have to finish?
I think it's tied 12th. 12th in ties.
12th in ties?
Yeah, we get invited back.
So that's how Bryson can come back after next year if he finishes in the top 12. Because 2025 is his last year of his exemptions for the U.S. Open.
Right. He has a 5-year exemption.
Yeah, so 2025 is his last year. So if he finishes 13 or worse, he's not coming back.
Yeah.
That's why I thought he was really pushing hard this week.
For sure. Or unless you just go, you know what, I'm going to return back to amateur. I'm just going to get back my amateur status and go win the U.S. amateur again. I'm going to go for the mid-amateur.
Agastad, the perennial mid-amateur champion the last 5 years.
I watched him hit the ball. That guy's a big dude. He's a big dude.
And he's lost some weight. He's muscle now. He's not like thick as he was for a while. Yeah.
In fact, he towers over even Gary Woodland.
Yeah,
he was playing with Woodland on Tuesday, and I was like, "Yeah, that guy's really tall." Because I'm pretty tall, and he's a lot bigger.
Hey,
I'm
really excited for Pinehurst, though. Like, I can't wait for that one.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Pinehurst,
it's gonna be good.
It's gonna be good, and well, Valhalla's gonna be good too.
Yeah, I mean,
Valhalla's great.
And where's the Open at this
Royal Troon?
Royal Troon. Yeah,
great
Royal
year Troon. For majors.
Yes, yeah, it really is.
Always a good year. Always good. Gentlemen, I've got to be the first to dash out. I've got some other stuff I got to get on.
Oh, he's so important.
Not a problem. I'm still entertaining my guest here in the other room. I got to see if he.
Why? I just don't understand why he can't just come in and say hi.
I know.
I told him.
Stage fright.
He's a little stage fright. He's the man behind the lens. He likes the nice. Go check his stories. We had a round at TPC Summerlin today.
I watched it.
Yeah, he had.
I saw him rehearsing, like saying good morning. So it might take him a few times to get on.
I love it.
Awesome, Cyrus, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Love it always.
See you, Cyrus.
Appreciate it, guys. Right. Get up for some golf soon.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, stop it. Come on. You say that all the time. You say that all the time.
I'm waiting on the invite. I didn't get an invite to Bannon.
Hey, you can play in every VGN event if you can get the pass, but you can't. So that's all.
All right, gentlemen. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, dude.
Oh, awesome having Cyrus and his take on.
Yeah.
Man, got anything else, Joe? Anything else going on the crazy this week? We covered Zach Johnson. We covered Greg Norman. We covered Rory. Cyrus is here. Jenner's here. Thank you, Jenner, as well for coming.
Yeah.
We gave away the ball marker. This is really cool. I mean, it would be a ballsy move to play this thing because it's
big. It's thick.
It's thick. It's like four of these.
Still sick to have.
Oh yeah. So
yeah,
we did that. Here's the scorecard for Mountain Falls. That's coming up this weekend. Joe, what'd you think of the course? We played it Friday.
Yeah, it was cool. I played it the week before that we just played it, and it was very sandy, and the sand is fairly gone. So I think it's going to be fantastic shape this weekend. I'm excited.
Dan, did you see Joe put up a 73?
I did. I saw him on Loop Golf, and I texted him too.
The last hole.
I saw his start on the front nine. I was like, damn, what did he shoot? Like, what were you, two under, three under, through like eight, something like that?
I was two under through nine.
He was dropping everything. Everything.
I think this goes back to the Masters. Like, you watch so many like interviews, like people saying like, oh, you got to stay patient. You got to be conservative to, targets and blah, blah, blah. And I was feeling sick that day. So no expectations. And
took a steroid. That's what we were saying. You took some allergy medicine. We're like, that shit's banned now from the VGN.
It was weird. I haven't experienced that in a long time. Like, it's like where you're just unconscious. I can't say that word, but it was weird.
Salad sandwich.
I was like, I haven't played well in a long time to where I didn't get nervous, and I was not nervous at all throughout the entire round until I had the chip shot on 18 to shoot one under, and it was like, oh, now I'm nervous, because I can do something cool. But
I said, I go, hey, dude, let's do $20. That way I'll try to keep my head in the game and play for something. And he drops a birdie. And I'm like, I am struggling and can't do anything right. And I'm like, well, that's $20 gone. So over by the fifth hole.
Yeah.
So you were soul golfing until about hole 18.
I was straight up soul golfing, and then
I outdrove him on 18, and I think that really got in his head.
Shook the soul up a little bit.
No, well, I beat him by like 47 strokes, so it doesn't, that drive doesn't matter. So.
But I think that's what got in his head. I think he went, "Oh shit,
I'm falling apart."
Matt outdrove me on the last hole.
That wasn't it. If I played a little too conservative on the 18th pin. And if I didn't aim as right as I did, I probably could have held it. If I would have aimed at the pin, I would have held it potentially.
Probably, yeah, you probably would have.
But my mistake was being a lob wedger, like really comfortable with my lob wedge, short of the green. I
get just, scared like, sometimes when you hit that lob wedge because I'm like, God damn it, he is fucking brave for doing that. And every time.
Yeah, and that was one of those moments where I was like in between putter and lob wedge, and it just caught up with me. But good round, great course. Jenner, if you've never played Mountain Falls, it's a good spot. It has its own amen corner out there where it's like you got to play really well. But we have a tournament out there, and I'm excited. Me playing well this past weekend probably makes me think that I'm gonna finish last, so that's fine. But I think I think it was the Masters interviews, that, because, you know, we all consume the Masters fully, you know, and they're just talking about like patience. And I had that day. So it was different. I haven't experienced it in a long time.
And he had a fanboy.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that in a long time, to where I was like, oh, the shot goes where it goes. I'm going to aim here. I'm not aiming at the pin. Like, I didn't aim at pins. I just aimed with the wind. And so it's super mental, man. Like, it really made me realize how mental it is. It's like, because most of the time I'm just going to try. I'm trying to hole at every shot. I really am trying to hole every shot. So if you can avoid trying to hole every single shot, like, you might play a little bit better. So try and do that.
good solid words of advice there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't flag on every hole.
But it's also just a game, man. It is what it is. But
no. Hey, Robbie Chapman will be back out with us this event.
All right.
Dan Hayden, this is his first event of the year, so see some old faces. It'll be a good time.
Oh yeah.
I got one last question for you, Jenner.
Yeah.
If you want to disclose it, how much did you spend at the pro shop?
I meant to ask this earlier too. Yeah.
So I bought a lot of stuff to sell.
Yeah.
And I think my wife and I calculated, we actually had to buy a suitcase at Walmart in order to get it all.
That's awesome.
I spent somewhere close to $5,200.
Wow. Yeah. That's a big ticket.
Wow. It is a big ticket, but it
no regrets.
Like, literally.
No regrets.
No regrets. It was fantastic. And I mean, you know, it's interesting, actually. You know, you talk about the gnome that's selling for whatever. It's incredible what some of the stuff sells for. Just people love the Masters so much that
they do.
You don't get an opportunity to go. You can only get the stuff at Augusta National, obviously, unless it's through the party marketplace. So,
I have a coffee cup and I've got this marker that was a birthday gift somebody gave me.
That's what I was going to talk about.
And now I have a green cup.
So we didn't speak about this earlier, but I did want to know about this. You told me that you found your way into Berkman's.
I didn't want to bring this up. I really didn't, because I didn't. It's not your typical first time Masters experience.
That's... Right. So I had my wife's mom's friend is like a salesperson at one of the exclusive clubs out here, and she went last year and she brought me a shirt back from Berkman's. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, like, you told me, so it's fair game.
It is.
What happened? Game. What happened?
So it's interesting, because like I said, this isn't your typical first time Masters experience, but as you're walking in the South Gate, which is where Berkman's is, Berkman's place is in between the South Gate entrance and before you get to the first pro shop. As you're walking down, and they're big, wide sidewalk, like I'd say sidewalk, but it's more like a big driveway that obviously for all the walking traffic back and forth. But as you're walking, there's all these just massive bushes that are along one side, or actually on both sides. One side is the fifth hole, the other side is for who knows what, and turns out that's where Berkman's is. So Berkman's, it's called Berkman's Place, and there's a big putting green that is where you can go and like practice putting, and it's for it's at the speed and you know, whatnot of the same greens that they're playing on the course. And then they have restaurants and a special pro shop where you can get all of the additional merch and all of the hats and shirts and whatever you want to buy at Berkman's Place are a little bit more expensive, but they are very much different. They have a different logo on them. It's a circular logo. In fact, I don't know if anyone's seen these, but I'll show you.
Yeah, I mean, that's some shit I would do. I would literally just go to the other line. Like, I would.
So I bought the vest. And it has the circle logo. So this circle logo is the one that has
That's the ANGC logo, basically.
Yes, not quite, because I have something from ANGC too that's different.
Well, the ANGC has the ANGC on it. That's
really members cool. only stuff, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the lamb joint.
That nice. Is the lamb joint. You can see the lamb crafted on the back. So, yeah. So you go in and there's restaurants you can eat at, a special pro shop, and it's actually, to my understanding, the only place they serve like cocktails and stuff. So, but it's all you can eat, all you can drink. Whatever you want to do, that's where they have places within the restaurants you can actually watch. I'm sure that's on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's just jam-packed. When I was there on Tuesday, there really weren't that many people there. We got in there for breakfast. After we had set our chairs, we came back and then just had breakfast and went to the pro shop and spent thousands of dollars. But it was special, man. I mean, the way they treat you is second to none.
Really cool, man. Love it.
So the Whatnot Masters Edition coming soon for you?
I'm not familiar with that. So I actually don't know if I want to know based on the fact that Joe's now addicted to
it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it. Your phone has to be plugged in because you will just watch.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, now I'm intrigued, so I might be in trouble. I'll have to, I'll be hopping on some future episodes to drop some stuff in the comments.
You can find some really cool shit. Like Joe got some really cool stuff, and there is stuff out there that's pretty sick.
It's like playing golf. You got to be patient, bro.
There's just also so much trash.
Yeah,
just
got it.
Hey, chat, this one of a kind pyramid putter with a 47 degree shaft. You know, it's like rare, chat. Go find it. Rare. You're not going to see this. You know, it was just, if you know golf, you can see through the bullshit. But if you don't, suckers, man. Yeah. Suckers.
There's a lot of suckers. Yeah, man.
All right. So, hey, Jenner, again, thank you so much for doing this. Having that type of feedback. About being there, awesome, makes me want to go even more now.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you Golf Stop for being one of our sponsors. Thank you Scott Russo from Under in Law for allowing us to use the intro music. Thanks Cyrus for coming on. Thank Beautiful Golf Courses. Hey, I hit driver, not 5-iron, so shut up. Thank you for being in the chat on Instagram. Thank you for nobody tuned in on YouTube tonight. Well, some people. But we're here each week. Next week, we're trying to get out to Popstroke to do a live show from Popstroke. Don't know if that's going to happen. Waiting to find out. But I will be there Monday morning for the grand opening to check it out and see what it's all about. So I'll be posting on our stories about that. It's going to be a sick place. And we know a lot of people that are working there, too. So hopefully we should have some good insider information. How's the playoffs at 5-iron? Dan, how'd it go?
They don't start till like I think next week.
Next week?
Okay. I think so.
Let me know playoff schedule when you know it because
I'll talk to Maria. I think we're still doing pretty good, Joe. I think we're in first.
Okay.
I can Tuesday I can't because we're doing the show and that's also my birthday. So
birthday
Monday coming up. Monday.
Happy birthday, because I'll forget. Happy birthday right now.
It counts.
It counts. First counts one.
Okay. Again, Jenner, thank you so much for hopping on. Loved you being here. Joe, do your thing. Let's end this chicken wing.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Masters is over, but don't be sad because there's a lot of really good major golf coming up. And we'll also have the Masters again in another year. So. Shout out Jenner. Thank you for tuning in, jumping on. Always
Jeremy
supporter. I don't know where Jeremy is.
Where's Jeremy?
Jeremy's not here, so he'll have to listen to this one in his car. Thank you all. Comments, reviews, appreciate all of it. We're here.
We've had some.
Here he goes again. Interrupting me. Always. This guy.
Hey, the reviews are important.
I was on a roll, bro.
But did you say that we've gotten some?
You didn't acknowledge me with that information yet. So,
Joe, we've got some reviews.
All right. We thank you for all your reviews. They're coming in. They're just coming in. We love it. All those 5-star reviews. They're beautiful. We appreciate it. Yeah. Get out there, play some golf. This is Chasing Daylight Podcast. We'll see you next week. Masters is over, but that doesn't mean golf is over. Get out there, play some golf, and we got Valhalla coming up. I can't wait for that one. Till then, later.